everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/GabPod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode ends with a chat with WWE superstar John Cena and was originally recorded December 7th, 2017. Here's episode 64 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We're sitting in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump International Hotel, and sometimes home of the 45th president, our universal champion, the Donald.
It is about 8:30 in the morning, day 321 of the Donald's universal championship reign. And there's a lot's going on.
Yeah, this is a podcast about the intersections of political politics, presidential politics, Jesus, and professional wrestling. The reason why we're recording this today is because a new movie coming out called Ferdinand.
Yeah.
It's based on the book The Story of Ferdinand, and it stars the vocal talents of John Cena. So we have a little chat with John Cena at the end of this show, and anytime you get to talk to the franchise, you have to record a podcast.
I'm hoping underneath this, I'm leaving some air because I want you to be playing the Cena theme.
Of course, there's horns the entire time we're going to be doing this, but this podcast will not exclusively be about John Cena. Instead, it will mostly be about the tax bill and Matt Hardy's condition.
So you just got swerved. It's about, we're talking taxes in the Great American Bash. Republicans have passed their first. What is the stage? Passed? It's not signed. It's not a bill yet.
I think
I'm trying to do my schoolhouse rock.
Committee. They're voting to go to committee.
So a tax bill has made it out of the House.
I wish there was an expert in that.
That'd be amazing.
Oh well.
So yeah, they finally got something done. 321. They had done little stuff around the edges. They, you know, the
travel ban's in effect right now.
Right now, but it took them almost 320 days to get that done. Do they have a wall?
There's parts of a wall.
Is it see through and walk throughable?
Listen, Jericho is still in WWE and New Japan. How could the wall could still be see through and fixed? Does that analogy hold up?
No, not at all. Okay, so this is the first major thing they've gotten done legislatively, because mostly they've been dealing with the president's
Supreme Court. Yeah, I know that's not legislatively.
Well, it was also a thing that was going to happen no matter what.
Well, no, but that's it. Credit where credit is due. Mitch McConnell did a very brave thing.
Yeah, he subverted democracy. Did a very brave thing. He will go down in history. Didn't say it was a good thing.
Listen, everything. That's how history works. We're all going to go down in history. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we're all going down. That is the theme of this podcast. So the tax bill, who benefited? I'd say generally the 1%, but specifically, if I was to pick somebody,
builders.
It's crazy.
Real estate builders.
Yes, in the New York Times, tax plan crowns a big winner, Trump's industry. Basically, a lot of the carve-outs that are not coming back for other industries, somehow real estate developers managed to keep those in the conversation.
And here's the thing I find interesting. Chris and I are the co-authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Professional Wrestling. By doing that book, we examined a lot of things that people kind of forgot. Number one, Donald Trump bankrupted casinos. That's incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
So just because Donald Trump right now might be getting a tax break from owning and building properties doesn't mean he will always get a tax break, because not all of his buildings and properties do well. In fact, most don't.
I mean, we don't actually know that because we have not seen a tax return.
That's true.
And we never will.
But we do know that a giant casino built in New Jersey is now defunct, and it has his name on it.
Yeah,
that's very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a building at 666 Park Avenue that Jared currently owns that is in the red, that he might not own very long because it's a bad investment.
Would you say, if you were in this position, you have this really bad investment and you're definitely going down because you bought 666 Fifth Avenue and you didn't get it, well, you shouldn't do that. Do you think you would then sell out to, like, say, Russian or Chinese interests? I mean, just to cover your tax bill.
Listen.
Would you?
Now I want to make the comparison of Shane going to China because he couldn't get his dad's company, but that's too complicated.
That's actually, it's too complicated for the podcast. You should read about it in the book, though.
Exactly.
You can get at presidentwrestler.com. So we've got this tax bill that's coming down the pike. There will be, I think, what, like, a trillion out of the deficit? Does that sound about right?
Over a trillion.
Over a trillion. So to get that deficit under control, Paul Ryan says Republicans will now be targeting welfare, Medicare, Medicaid spending in 2018, because for some reason there's going to be a huge deficit, because actions have consequences.
Okay, well, I don't necessarily agree or disagree, because this is technically a bipartisan podcast. I just want to make it clear that I think it's cool, though, because current wrestlers in the WWE don't have health care, right? Mm-hmm. And then they retire, they just don't have a contract anymore. Yeah. And then they get old, and then they have Medicare, right?
Eventually, yes.
Well, now it's going to level the playing field, and they won't have Medicare, so maybe Jake the Snake Roberts will return to the ring. So
yeah,
a way, we could spin this.
Yeah, no, if you want to
Vince
see,
is coming out on top.
Well, he always does. That's the good thing to remember. But if you want to see your childhood favorites that are still alive die in the ring, this is the chance.
Here we go, guys.
I mean, Flair might be coming back. He's got that new documentary.
He's clearly still blading.
He's going to lose his Medicaid and Medicare. Yeah, he should be doing it. So that's what's coming next in 2018. So for everyone who thought 2017 was bad, just wait. And meanwhile, Donald Trump is threatening a shutdown. I don't read newspapers anymore.
Write for them.
But only about stuff that doesn't matter. So I guess he's threatening a shutdown and couldn't pin it on the Democrats. I'm not sure the dates and time when the government will shut down. Once again, could use an expert in this. What do you think about the shutdown?
I think I'm just going to parrot what NPR has been saying, and they're going to kick the can for a few weeks, and then it'll get awkward, and it might shut down for a few days.
So basically, like, WWE booking until the Rumble.
Pretty
just
much.
Like, awkward kicking.
We're in a holding pattern. I guess Night of Champions is here. I guess we should have a pay-per-view.
Yes.
We have to sell these tickets.
Yeah, so the Clash of Champions will be...
That's the government shutdown.
Government shutdown, yeah. A big clusterfuck pay-per-view. That sounds about right. One of the biggest stories in the news in the last couple days is the president recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, reversal of longtime U.S. policy. This is another thing he promised to do. Oh, a thing he can actually do that he promised to do.
Yeah, but to be fair, every president promises this. Obama promised this. Bush promised this. Clinton promised this.
Did they?
They all promised it, but they also said, and then they got in the office, they're like, maybe we shouldn't do this.
And then someone gave them like a PowerPoint presentation. They gave them Drew Gulak's PowerPoint presentation and was like, here's why you don't do this, because it's a no-fly zone.
So that's what's going on. And you didn't think that this is a big of a deal in terms of wrestling in the world and U.S. politics and the news cycle?
No, I think it is a big thing in the news cycle. I mean, I think it has consequences. I mean, they're doing this because, as you pointed here in this outline we use, that the base is happy.
Okay,
because the base thinks this will bring about the biblical apocalypse.
I don't think that's why the base is happy about this. I also don't understand why the base would be happy about this.
Well, I mean,
that's why
that's
I put
the
it
thing.
On there.
Well, the evangelicals do believe that. So that's part of the base.
All right. Well, based on the news, once again, we're recording this on 8:30 in the morning. Yeah. This happened yesterday, and both CNN, NBC, Washington Post, and NPR, they're all leading with this.
No,
this
it's
is
a
the
big
top
story. Yeah, but there's been 320 top stories. And we remember that time Mike Pence went to Hamilton? Okay, there's always a top story. It doesn't mean it matters in the scheme of things. Because we're going to find out when they inevitably keep the embassy in Tel Aviv or something. This was just to get a little pop, and when they can't follow through, no one's going to hold them to it. And also remember who's in charge of getting Mideast peace.
Triple H. The game.
Yeah, I mean, he's a cerebral assassin, so this is clearly a good move. Speaking of evangelical base of the Republican Party, we're going to go work backwards from this, but when is that special election?
That special election is Tuesday, December 12th, the same day and time as SmackDown Live.
All right. Well, I know what I'll be doing following Alabama election returns as...
What's the main event next week?
Roy Moore versus Doug Jones. Why did it take me... I didn't even realize it took me way too long to get to Doug Jones to Dougie Jones.
Seriously?
Yeah. Like, I was not...
Were you watching Twin Peaks The Return live?
Live-ish.
So, like, you weren't, like, months behind. You were, like, week. Really? Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I just didn't. Yeah. Dougie Jones. Okay. So, so there's that race where we're going to have where the GOP and the evangelical base is supporting a guy who used to pick up girls at the mall. Teen girls.
Yeah, yeah.
When he was an adult.
So Vince versus.
Did Vince do that?
I mean, it's called the Attitude Era, man.
They were all legal. That's all I'm saying. Vince McMahon is a better man than Roy Moore.
I will agree with you on that.
See, nonpartisan podcast. So Roy Moore is probably going to be a senator. Because,
yeah, probably.
I mean, the RNC came back in and started dumping more money in it.
So this is not a Night of Champions preview. This is an Alabama Senate race preview. I'm going to put all of my money down on Mr. Moore.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good pick. Roy Moore will be in the Senate in January. Al Franken will not be. Because there's always more stories.
Okay, here's my little anecdote about Franken. I think we've discussed this on the podcast once. I was lucky enough to talk to Al Franken like last month, very, very recently, at the end of October, so very recently. And I asked him, this is sadly not on record, and I really regret it because I didn't think he would actually say anything interesting. And he did. I go, do you think Jesse Ventura helped you win office? And he said, no, Jesse Ventura was a wrestler. And now, in the early part of December 2017, my retort was, you dumb motherfucker, why didn't you act like Jesse Ventura, like a wrestler? You know who's never apologized for anything ever?
Yeah.
Donald Trump. You know who's in office? You know who's never apologized for anything ever? Roy Moore. Al Franken didn't actually sexually assault anyone, and there's a big difference between assault and abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, maybe...
I'm letting you take this one.
Maybe don't do anything yet. Shut up and try to do good. But it appears that by the time you're hearing this podcast...
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Like, from a... As the one who did Democratic politics, like, I get... I only pay attention to this stuff, like, strategically.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if everything was right in the world, he would have just resigned immediately, which would have been fine.
Yeah, because, exactly.
Yeah, you know, ban all men.
Yeah.
Et cetera. And that would have been fine. But... You don't unilaterally disarm when they're about to put Roy Moore in the Senate.
But also,
but it's a Democratic governor. They're going to appoint a Democratic, probably Democratic woman. It'll, you know, bring some minor justice to that. It's fine. It's just the fact that this isn't the end. This is the beginning of the. It's not even witch hunts. All these guys have done it, but somehow, Roy Moore will be in the Senate, and Al Franken will be out of the Senate, and John Conyers will be retired too. As they should be, but it's one of these where a lot of liberals and progressives, people on the left will be like, well, we have to hold people to the same standard. It's like, well, you're not actually holding the same standard because the other side has never held to that standard. So that's where I'm just like, all right, in this case, I don't care. It's a Democratic governor. It's going to start when Democrats are just going to have to elect better people because it's going to happen to more people.
Agreed. And I want to make it clear that when I was saying Al Franken should shut the fuck up, you either don't say anything and you keep doing your job, or you don't say anything and you leave.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right. Well, he was trying to make a better apology than Louis C.K.
You can't have it both ways. I think that the first option that you presented should have been the thing he did.
Mm-hmm.
Resign, replaced by a woman within like a day.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't say anything.
Right.
That's what a wrestler would do. Or a wrestler would shut up and ignore the booking and get himself over, which he is not doing.
That is correct. I would also say a wrestler would cut a better promo.
Agreed.
Here's an example of a wrestler cutting a promo. Quote, did you say I shouldn't be on TV on Sunday? I'll go on TV anytime I goddamn fucking want, and you won't say another fucking word about me. Tone it down? I want to turn it up. You're a political pro? Let me tell you something. I'm a pro at life. I've been around a time or two. I know guys like you with your hair and skin.
All right, clearly that was Trump. Here's the best part of the promo that most people miss. I'm a pro at life. I've been around this a time or two, which means...
Donald Trump is immortal. He's a pro at it. He's done this before.
He's WWE Immortals.
Yeah, that's it. You nailed it. I wasn't sure if you'd be able to get a reference in, but you did it. No, I mean, I think clearly people focused on the hair and skin part of this because obviously it's Donald Trump.
Because
he's
it's
orange
a crazy
and
person.
He's got hair.
So that's what it
he
is.
He has dentures, whatever. But like, tone it down, I want to turn it up. Sounds like, I'm pretty sure that's a lyric from like Nikki Bella's theme song. Or, you know, it's AJ's actually. Tone it up, tone it. Yeah, I think it's in there. Turn it up, yeah. So that's a good promo. I just wanted to shout that out. Because say what you will about Donald Trump, he's a good promo. He learned from wrestling, which you can read about in our book. He still does it.
He's still great. Find it at presidentwrestler.com or donaldtrumpisawrestler.com.
Yeah. And I think people think, well, I mean, I know we thought that before November 8th, 2016, we thought no one would care about our book anymore after, because he would be a historical footnote. And that's clearly not true. And people think, maybe they think after Donald Trump is president, this analysis of politics through the prism of pro wrestling, I'm just going to pop as many peas as possible, will not be, won't be useful either. But that's not true, of course, because our next president is also going to be a wrestler.
So The Rock is getting a little bit more comfortable talking about the Donald. He kind of stayed mum for a long time, tried to be bipartisan or nonpartisan. He still is mostly nonpartisan. Keep in mind, he's a guy in Florida that does own a lot of businesses, so he's going to benefit quite a bit from these tax breaks. So, if anything, he's a libertarian, but he's sort of weighing in on the Democratic side because he's now talking about recent Ballers guest star Steph Curry. I don't know if you're caught up on Ballers, but Steph Curry's in this season.
So Steph Curry, not Steph McMahon.
Not Steph McMahon. It's on this month's InStyle. Legitimately good photo shoot. I don't know if you saw.
I didn't.
I follow The Rock on Instagram. It's a delight.
He's got every magazine you could get this month because it's The Rock and he's doing press for Jumanji and other stuff. He's on Entertainment Weekly. He was on...
Was it Essence?
Essence or Ebony. I think Ebony.
Okay.
And now in style, so he's having a good month.
So this is the quote that we focused on. Steph Curry is a very good buddy of mine. I know him and his family. At the time when he declined the offer, really quick, this is not the quote, the offer being the Golden State Warriors offer to attend the White House for their, you know, they won the championship ceremony. He declined the offer. I felt like it was our president's perfect opportunity to say, now you must come to the White House and sit down with me and I must hear and understand you. What we're in need of is greater leadership that's inclusive and truly hears the people and doesn't have a knee-jerk reaction out of anger. Scenarios like this, while divisive, also clarify what we really want in the future. And we'll have a chance in a few years to cast another vote. And we'll see where the American people are when that time comes.
Yeah.
So it's a lovely sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horrible promo.
Yeah, no, I mean, he
sounds like Mitt Romney.
Yeah. It's like when, as we'll find out, when you ask John Cena questions about politics. Ugh. These are very, like... This is The Rock has done some media training.
So we've alluded to this. I've alluded to this much more than you. I don't actually believe that most people are incredibly left or incredibly right. They just have certain jobs. And if in an ideal world, no one would have to talk about politics on one side all the time.
Okay.
But they have employers, and that's how that works. For example, friend of the show, Kat Timpf, is on Fox News. Mm-hmm. She doesn't believe 90% of that shit that she says, but she wants to have that job.
Yeah, no, as a Fox blonde, like, you have to say that crazy shit.
She doesn't believe it.
Yeah.
She just parrots it because that's who employs her. I feel like most people are similar to The Rock. We're like, I really don't give a shit. I just want everyone to be cool. Party.
I think The Rock does give a shit.
I don't think he's I don't think he's left or right. I think he's a centrist at the end of the day, and he's got a lot of stuff that maybe will be far left and maybe far right, but that cancels out.
He doesn't have anything that's far right.
Taxes, probably.
I think he's probably
his production company's in Florida for a reason.
Yeah, sure, but I think people can separate. There's a lot of rich Democrats who you can support both and go, well, you know, I think The Rock could easily say, well, I make a lot of money, I'm doing all right, I had $7 in my pocket, and because of taxes, like, I was able to blah blah blah, you know. So I think there's a way for him to do it. I don't think this is an Eisenhower situation where it's like, which party wants me? I think it'll be pretty clear
that
the multiracial, you
of
know,
course.
Anti-discrimination, you know, former wrestler will end up being.
Speaking of anti-discrimination, speaking of multicultural, the internet's going to change.
Yeah. Another thing that was going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So we're not going to go a deep dive into net neutrality because that's pointless, but it will affect both politics and professional wrestling.
Yes.
This is both very good for people that have one type of thinking that are already carved out their portion of the internet. This is very bad if you're a wrestling fan and you want a bigger world.
Yeah. I mean, if you want not just the WWE Network for $9.99 a month, what if you want New Japan World? What if you want Powerbomb.tv? Like this, maybe that could be very expensive, and you're going to get stuck just watching the network and watching episodes of what's there around the horn. They got rid of it,
okay,
but I just wanted to shit on it for a little bit.
I actually think this might encourage television, USA's like network buys to go up. So this might be a wash for the WWE. I think network subscriptions are going to go down based on internet prices and structuring plans. And I think that more people will now be watching the 3-hour version of Raw.
That's, I feel bad. This is when people talk about neutrality. They don't talk about how it really affects people. If you're forced to watch now 5 hours of programming, that's really bad. Also, NXT will be on TV next week. USA is doing a WWE week. There's tribute to the troops. They're running NXT kind of... It like a backdoor pilot, maybe, just kind of see if there's any interest.
Yeah,
I think the stuff that's happening that happened on these tapings, I think it's a good opportunity to see what NXT is about for a wider audience who might not see it on the network or see it on Hulu. And
let's backtrack for a second. Do you want to tell the Tribute to the Troops anecdote from last year?
Yeah, so we went to the Tribute to the Troops, which is a show they do every year, and it's generally just the faces go over, the pro-American faces go over. It's just a lot of fun for everybody. The military officer who came out with a script beforehand was saying a bunch of moves, and he said Roman Reigns' Superman punch and got booed. And that was kind of a sense of things, set the table for what was to come when Randy Orton, he was dishonorably discharged from the Marines. He was in the Wyatt family, the heel faction, and he gave an RKO to the guys in American Alpha, the Olympian, the team of Olympians who are pro-America, and the crowd went wild because an RKO out of nowhere is better than America.
Yeah, so a general got booed and a guy that was dishonorably discharged went over.
Yeah, and RKOs out of nowhere are great as we continue to see on SmackDown. Randy Orton as in a feud currently, I guess, with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, but not really. He's just a vessel for Shane McMahon's condition. We'll get to that as well, but yeah, this is the biggest story in wrestling right now. I thought the worst storyline of 2017 in wrestling was definitely going to be, why did Jinder Mahal have the belt for like 6 months? But it turns out that pales in comparison to, why is Shane McMahon on TV every week? Why is he being mean to the nice wrestle men who just want to do their jobs and save their friendship? Why does he keep doing these things?
So if you've never heard this show before, you don't watch wrestling, let us inform you that the current storyline on this television show, SmackDown Live, which airs Tuesday nights on the USA Network, occasionally starring John Cena, the main storyline is the son of the owner doesn't like two men because they don't think they wrestle the right way. Therefore, one was handcuffed to the bottom rope.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to do it, and employee rights be damned, you have to do this or you're fired.
Yeah, you know, when you explain it like that, it sounds like a child recapping a TV show.
Well, it's children's television.
Well, it's children. It's for children. It's fucking fake, and it's for children. The bigger story, the meta story with Shane McMahon is, in 2016, he returned to the company. We alluded to it earlier. He had been in China working on this VOD service, which didn't come to be, I think, or like didn't make its money or whatever. So he comes back to the company. He was kind of estranged. He had been kind of replaced in the hierarchy by his sister, Stephanie McMahon, who's married to Triple H. And they were the power, looking like the next generation of leadership. That's still the case because Shane McMahon has only returned in a storyline capacity. But he is as the GM of SmackDown, or the commissioner, I think GM. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's fake. So he's back, but in his first storyline, Vince McMahon, he said he had something over Vince McMahon in a lockbox. And to prevent that information going out, Vince McMahon booked him in a Hell in a Cell match with The Undertaker. And Shane almost died. And then when he lost, because he wasn't going to...
Oh, by the way, IRL almost died.
Oh, yeah, because sometimes wrestling's real when people die. He was supposed to not be in the company anymore. And then his reward was he got exactly what he wanted, which was running SmackDown in character. Then after that, he spent the next year in a feud with AJ Styles, arguably the best wrestler in the world. And AJ Styles had to pretend that Shane's dog shit offense did anything to him, and then try to get this go to a match and not have Shane die on his hands, because that would be, in most companies, that's bad. I don't know if killing the boss's son in this company, this might actually be good. He might have got promoted. And then since then, he has been in a feud with Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens is like, you're bad at your job, you're a bad ref, you're a bad GM. All these things in storyline are true.
Yeah.
And as the heel, he has to get his comeuppance, but for some reason, he's not wrong. So neither Sami Zayn saved his friend Kevin Owens from having Shane McMahon jump from 20 feet in the air onto him, onto a table. And he's a bad guy for doing that. So, like, it is frustrating to watch the boss's son. I mean, for wrestling fans, spent a decade with Triple H on top going over everyone. Stephanie McMahon coming out demeaning everybody. She does that all the time. But this stuff is actually worse because, like, at least in storyline, maybe just got tired of them, but they were heels. Maybe they didn't get a ton of comeuppance, but they did get some. She would go through a table once a year. Triple H always loses at WrestleMania, unless it's Sting. But Shane is out there, and he's, like, the last man surviving on the Survivor Series team. He's starting the show with a promo every week. He's, like you said, he's going to fire these guys. Like, just fire them. Like, he's torturing them, like, and then going to fire them. It's very strange.
Well, it is the worst storyline of the year. It's my favorite storyline of the year because Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are probably the two best talkers for what we do, which is talk about the intersection of politics and wrestling. And they're the only ones that even come close to it. Right. 2 weeks ago, Sami Zayn whispered to his friend, clearly off script, they call you a terrorist. Yeah. That was in reference to Sami Zayn himself because Sami Zayn is not... His parents are from Syria. He speaks Arab and
Arabic.
And he's leading the charge for WWE in Arab nations.
Yes.
He's the poster boy for that. So on Twitter, he is occasionally called a terrorist.
Yeah. Somebody asked him, why don't... Oh, you... He had said something about Mexico, and they were like, well, instead of loving Mexico, why don't you love America? And he was like, yeah, I don't love America, you, like, doofus or something. Like, he's a heel, but he is great.
Yeah, and so that's why, for my purposes, it's the only thing actually I'm watching, actually paying attention to of the 2.5 hours every week I watch of programming.
Okay, that's good. That's probably a good thing to watch. That you're going to have to watch some more now because almost 2 years after it took the internet and the wrestling internet by storm, Matt Hardy is finally broken/woken on Raw in a feud with Bray Wyatt. We did talk about this, I think, extensively when it was happening in TNA Impact GFW, when Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy decided they didn't want to go to the tapings. They would just shoot vignettes at their house, and it was crazy, and it was one of the best things in 2016. My wife maintains not just in wrestling, but in the year 2016.
Right. She's absolutely right.
Because of legal reasons, they weren't able to bring these characters and the intellectual property over to WWE. They've been hinting at it the entire time since they returned last in April.
Yeah, it hasn't been that long. It feels like it's been years.
It feels forever, but that's only because we watch a lot of wrestling and it makes everything feel like then, now, and forever. But now they are finally doing this. We should just play some of this. This is two crazy people cutting promos at each other.
Who is Matt Hardy? I know. The universe knows. But I don't think he knows. Yeah! For millennia, my soul has wandered through space and time. But not all who wander are lost.
Matt Hardy is a fool.
Yeah. A charade. An illusion to mask his own failures and insecurities. Matt Hardy knows nothing of what is actually real.
I am well versed in all facets of the multiverse. I have studied at the Library of Alexandria, battled alongside Genghis Khan, danced with Cleopatra, held symposiums with Plato, and meditated atop the Great Pyramid of Giza!
The ramblings of a madman can be very dangerous. Especially for those of you who listen.
Due to my condition, I have laid dormant inside this vessel called Matthew Hardy. But now, thanks to the consumer of terrestrial entities, I have been woken!
Last week, was not Matt Hardy's breaking point.
It was mine.
I actually feel alive again. My heart is pumping, and there's a fire in me that is only growing stronger. But my fire will not cleanse you. My fire will not save you. My fire will make sure all of you
Bray Wyatt, you left me with no choice. I sentence you to deletion!
So this is for adults. We need to discuss this. Because this is the Cena episode. Cena's for the kids. Mm-hmm. And the kids matter the most. And we should always make sure that the kids' segments are safe and fun and wonderful.
Yes.
Matt Hardy's not for the kids.
No.
Matt Hardy's for the smarks.
He's very much for the smarks because, I mean, it's a crazy character. If he says McMahon on TV, like, the internet's going to explode. Like,
it's
amazing. Yeah, because that's the thing. It became this meta thing when they were doing it in Impact. And they just, because they had creative freedom because no one cares because they weren't getting paid. Like, they didn't make it, you know, they made this whole thing out of nothing. And it's just this totally bizarre.
Almost, beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful, broken brilliance. The reason why I'm excited about this is because in addition to Sammy and Kevin speaking their mind, at least politically, mm-hmm. Matt Hardy has as well.
Yes. He had tweeted around the time of the election that Donald Trump would become the best president ever. And then he tweeted a GIF that said no one ever.
In his broken brilliance.
In the broken brilliance, yeah.
He's from the South. He's from a red state, mm-hmm. and he got super...
Purple state.
Oh, okay, I apologize. But he's still super over everywhere.
Yes.
He's one of the few people that is old enough and untouchable enough where he might be, and appeals to an adult crowd, where he might actually talk in his promos about what's going on in the real world. And it will easily get by the WWE folk because no one will know what the hell he's talking about.
This feud does have the potential because remember earlier this year when Bray Wyatt, or when Seth Rollins,
yes.
in his feud with Bray Wyatt, he said there is no God. That was the closest they got to talking about things that happen in the real world, and no one paid attention. The Matt Hardy stuff, it was like a top 10 video on all of YouTube. Like it's
already?
This is good. It was, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
In the really annoying wrestling community, everyone was like, it's too late. It's not going to work. It's over.
No, I mean, they're going to ruin it, but they'll ruin it.
I don't think they can ruin it. I don't think they could ruin it.
Well,
he
mark
got
it
his,
down. 8:59, they're going to ruin
his
it.
His brothers got insurance, and they sold a lot and made a lot more money. Therefore, it can't be ruined.
Earlier this year, a mere couple of months ago, they almost had Bray Wyatt coming out in drag as Sister Abigail, and if he hadn't gotten mumps saved his career. By the way, the best thing, a lot of people have noted this online, the best thing they could do here. So in... after Final Deletion, at one point they had the lake was a regenerative thing.
Yes.
And Jeff Hardy went into it and then came out as his past gimmicks or like different characters he had come up with. So he came out as Willow. He came out as his like redneck jester character and stuff. The best thing that can happen here is that Bray Wyatt goes into that lake and comes out as Husky Harris, his pre-Bray Wyatt gimmick when he was in OG NXT. Anything like that. Just something that is like, because in kayfabe, Bray Wyatt is Bray Wyatt. He's not Husky Harris. He's not IRS's son. He's Bray Wyatt. So for them to break the fourth wall, which they do all the time, but in this way, that would be the best thing they could do. They're probably not going to do that. It's too good.
You know what they got to do is they got to have the Hardys face the New Day, face the Wyatt family, and recreate the WWE's version of that horrible, horrible
yeah, they
match.
Should do that. And they've got the Bludgeon Brothers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun. Anyways, three people know what we're talking about. When Husky Harris was alive, there wasn't a women's revolution. Since then, there has been a women's revolution.
Yeah, some people say Stephanie McMahon started it. the women's revolution in WWE took its latest turn when they brought up a bunch of women from NXT to both shows.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you have a good idea, you should just do it twice. So that's what they did. They basically did two three-person teams invading and wreaking havoc. The first team on Raw is with the returning Paige.
And that's the only person I care about because all these other five women, they're perfectly fine human beings. I wish nothing but the best for any of them, but none of them should be on television.
They
cannot talk.
I disagree.
Ruby could kind of talk.
No one else can talk. No one can do WWE talking. Paige
can.
Well,
it's a WWE product. That's why I'm
that's
so
the
glad
problem.
Paige is back.
Yes, because Paige can talk and Paige can wrestle and Paige is a great character. And I'm glad that she's seemed to have gotten over the personal and health problems and relationship problems that were keeping her out of the WWE.
So this show is about to be on WGN, the WGN radio network. So I've been having to listen to most every early show. Paige came up more than any other wrestler that wasn't like Cena or The Rock.
Yeah, because she was in the headlines, but for the wrong reasons.
It was very, very sad. And we both thought she'd be dead by now. Yeah. Seriously, we thought she'd be dead. There was a lot of rumors about her drug running and prostitution, and it was getting real sad and real dark for a very long time.
Yes, but she is no longer with Alberto Del Butthole, and she is back on the back on Raw. She's leading a faction called Absolution, which is, as far as their names go, considering there's a faction in NXT called the Undisputed Era, like which doesn't actually mean anything, Absolution's fine. Like, I think it works. And storyline is that she says she started the women's revolution. And so she has two.
Which is fine.
She has, and the people with her are Mandy Rose, who kind of looks like a Margot Robbie type.
Sure, sure, sure.
And she's kind of what they, what like Eva Marie, they wanted to be. Like a, like a, like
she
a,
looks like she's out of the Attitude Era.
Yes. She can, and she can kind of work. She's in NXT. She didn't get a lot of TV time, but apparently on the house show, she's very like good character wise because she does the Eva Marie thing of like, I'm not actually going to wrestle, I'm too pretty, but then can wrestle. And then Sonya Deville, who they haven't actually, they haven't done anything other than, who are these people from NXT? Mm-hmm. I can't believe they're doing this. Sonya Deville is formerly known as Daria Baronato. She is the first WWE's first openly lesbian performer.
Oh, that's great.
They have
great.
Not really mentioned that at all. I think it came up in Tough Enough. Where she, that's the funny thing is that they all on Tough Enough, the season that Paige was a judge on.
They've referenced that every they've single
they reference that. That's
segment.
Where she knows it. Because there really is no other reason. Why is the MMA lady and the lady in gold teaming with Paige? It's very strange. Sonya's gimmick is good. The MMA thing is good. They had to get her out of NXT anyway because they're about to have Shayna Baszler, who actually does MMA. So they can't have their fake MMA person. I think that team works well. I think their storyline there is interesting. I think another fantasy booking thing, they've kind of been not having confrontations with Asuka. So if they do some sort of we're the real four horsemen thing, I think it could really work. They're keeping Nia away from Absolution because they want to keep her
strong.
You're
overthinking this way too much.
Why?
None of them are going to be there in a year. Well, Paige will hopefully be there in a year. But
they will be there. The women on SmackDown, Ruby, the Riot Squad, which why they didn't call them Riot Girls. Beyond.
I'm really glad they didn't.
Well, Ruby Riot is actually very good. She can she can do a promo. The other two are so green.
It's so uncomfortable.
I just forgot their names.
Let's keep it that way.
I don't even want to play that really bad, the Sarah Logan promo. It's just real bad. It's unfortunate because she didn't have any. They gave her zero talking time on NXT, and then they were like, go cut a promo on TV. Oh, and the other blonde, the Carmella 0.5, like, yeah, it's not good. And that whole SmackDown Women's Division is a mess.
Well, I'm just glad Paige is back.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to make his money back with her upcoming biopic. And speaking of biopics, Andre the Giant's HBO documentary has its first teaser trailer. It's perfectly fine. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not really. I went into a YouTube spiral of Andre the Giant clips of both him on television and co-stars of his talking about Giant. There was a consensus. He was amazing. He was a gentle giant. He was misunderstood, and he was a beautiful man, and he died much too young, and he was too big. He had too big of a heart, both literally and figuratively.
Well, this is the last episode of Great American Bash.
That's the premise of Ferdinand, the new movie starring John Cena. So yesterday, December 6th, 7th, 5th?
6th.
December 6th, John Cena read the story of Ferdinand to an auditorium at the Library of Congress full of children from local schools, and it was adorable. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I was there. I got to chat with Cena after the fact, and I asked him, I was the only person to ask any questions related to...
You were the only
related
grown
to
man asking questions.
No, there were lots of adults. I was the only one that did not take a selfie with the man.
Wow. Well,
so,
very proud of you.
Look at my restraint here. Yeah, this is a very, very short clip of Cena and I talking. It's the only stuff I could actually use. The other stuff, completely pointless. But this is somewhat related to wrestling. And as you will hear, he gives nothing. And as you can hear from me, I was trying to ask questions that were not appropriate for a children's movie preview.
Yeah, he probably thinks you're a real dick. And because
as he should.
And because this is an audio podcast, You can't see him.
You mentioned Vince. You mentioned The Rock. Are you going to be visiting Linda or any other politician on this very short visit?
This is a very short visit.
Yes.
I'm going to be visiting you and
that's
maybe
very nice.
A person down at the end of the line and then headed to New York.
Because you're doing Fallon tonight.
Yeah.
You're doing the Today Show Friday morning. Mm-hmm. You're part of the Today Show. If the Today Show offered a longer commitment, would you be willing to be more full-time as a host on the Today Show?
Man, I know I love doing the show.
Yeah.
And it's the hour goes by in the blink of an eye, and everybody there is nice, so... I would certainly strongly entertain the offer.
You haven't missed much time, if any time, due to concussions. We know a lot more about concussions since you played college ball. You have a huge influence over children. Do you encourage kids to play Pop Warner at this age, or would you be a little bit hesitant?
I think that's the decision of a parent.
Okay.
And certainly the decision of a parent talking to their child.
Sure.
You know, the message I send is to try to have people chase their passion.
Yeah.
And I think the sport as a whole is evolving.
Yeah.
And catering to youth. A lot of them are changing the protocol for Pop Warner.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a...
It's a parent decision then.
Yeah, I think so. But, that's a tough one to make. I think it's a case-by-case sort of thing.
Well, your future brother-in-law has had a lot of issues with that. You've encouraged him to do weight training. You've kind of been saved by your own weight training.
I don't know if
earlier
I would say
this year
that.
With Nakamura, the neck fall.
It
looked very dangerous, but since you're a very strong man with a lot of bulk, you probably were saved from a lot of that stuff.
Oh, I think the stupid decision was to do it in the first place.
Fair enough. But when would you encourage kids or anybody, actually, to start lifting?
Well, I think exercise is paramount in just overall, like, kinesis awareness.
Sure.
Lifting at 100% max effort?
Yeah.
Certainly not until, like, bone plate growth is complete. I would say 12, 13. I started at 12.
Okay.
But there's no reason a kid can't do, like, a body weight squat, push-up, pull-up protocol, or learn to do Olympic lifts with a broomstick. Like,
all
there's
right.
so many... It's fitness, man. It's just like we kind of push kids into the pool of education very early.
Yeah.
Keep them moving.
Final question, now you're busy. Your Make-A-Wish stuff is very awe-inspiring, but also probably heavy. Has there ever been a Make-A-Wish that you keep with you every day?
Every single one.
Yeah?
And I guess I just have a different perspective of it. It's wonderful.
Yeah?
It's not heavy. It's,
when did
it's
you
awesome.
Start? When was the first one you did? Do you remember?
Man. It wasn't, nobody wanted to see me in 2002. I bet you about 2003.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they started kind of coming at a regular pace.
And it's never stopped.
I'm very thankful for that.